Hey, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles, chapter 19. First Chronicles 19. And then put your finger on Matthew 5 as well, okay? Yeah, 1 Chronicles 19. Now, it came about after this that Nahash, the son of the king of the sons of Ammon, died, and his son became king in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanan, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. So David sent messengers to console him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the sons of Ammon to Hanan to console him. But the princes of the sons of Ammon said to Hanan, do you think that David is honoring your father in that he has sent comforters to you? Have not his servants come to you and to search and to overthrow and to spy out the land? So Hanan took David's servants and shaved them and cut off their garments in the middle as far as their hips and sent them away. Then certain persons went and told David about the men, and he sent to meet them, for the men were greatly humiliated. And the king said, stay in Jericho until your beards grow and then return. When the sons of Ammon saw that they had made themselves odious to David, Hanan and the sons of Ammon sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire for themselves chariots and horsemen from Mesopotamia and from Arimathea and from Zobah. And they hired for themselves 32,000 chariots and the king of Maacah and his people who came in camp before Medeba. And the sons of Ammon gathered together from their cities and came to battle. When David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army, the mighty men. The sons of Ammon came out and drew up in battle array at the entrance of the city, and the kings who had come were by themselves in the field. Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him in front and in the rear, he selected from all the choice men of Israel, and they arrayed themselves against the Arameans. But the remainder of the people he placed in the hand of Abishai, his brother, and they arrayed themselves against the sons of Ammon. And he said, if the Arameans are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the sons of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will help you. Be strong, and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what is good in his sight. So Joab and the people who were with him drew near to the battle against the Arameans, and they fled before him. When the sons of Ammon saw that the Arameans fled, they also fled before Abishai his brother and entered the city. Then Joab came to Jerusalem. When the Arameans saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they sent messengers and brought out the Arameans who were beyond the river with Shopash, the commander of the army of Hadadezer, leading them. When it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and crossed the Jordan and came upon them, drew up in formation against them. And when David drew up in battle array against the Arameans, they fought against him. And the Arameans fled before Israel, and David killed of the Arameans 7,000 charioteers, 40,000 foot soldiers, and put to death Shopach, the commander of the army. So when the servants of Hadadezer saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and served him. Thus the Arameans were not willing to help the sons of Ammon anymore. Amen. This is a clear case of bad counselors in this way. The Bible says, now it came about after this. After this, meaning this great military campaign that David had been on the chapter before. And so, I mean, if we look at it, the sons of Ammon actually had some cause to say, hey, maybe these guys that are coming here have an ulterior motive. Because David and the Israelites were, I mean, literally taking over all kinds of territory. They took over Philistia. They took over other places. And so they had this fear. Now, if you remember Nahash was very kind to David, particularly when David was hiding and fleeing from Saul. Nahash was also an enemy of Saul's. And so their David and Nahash's troubles with Saul seemed to have united them in some way. And David was took refuge with Nahash. And so there's history there. Actually, a very good history. There were kindness. And so David wanted to, when he heard about his friend who died, natural thing to do, he sent mourners. And this was kind of the Oriental, the Eastern way of showing respect. Just like you would go to someone's funeral, even if you didn't know who the dad was or who the mom was, because you knew your friends with the son or daughter, you went to their funeral. This is a very common thing. Even to this day, we have this. Now, unfortunately, when David sought to do this very good thing, had no malice in his heart whatever, he was repaid with insult. Now, we don't quite understand the depth of this, but they shaved half the beard, and they cut the robe all the way up, and it says all the way to the hips. And so this was in this time among Middle Eastern people, this was one of the worst things that you can do. They said that shaving half your beard or having your beard shaved for you and then ripping your garment would be similar to actually being flogged. They consider that to be equal, like actually being whipped and being beaten. And so this was their way of beating them or really embarrassing them. Notice, and the New American Standard translation is actually very correct. It says middle as far as their hips. So basically, they took the garment. Remember, in this tradition, they would have come with their most beautiful clothing. It would have showed so much respect to the king. It's as if, I mean, if you were had an opportunity to go meet the Queen of England, I guarantee you're going to dress like I'm dressed right now. You're going to wear your nicest, nicest clothes that you have. And so they had their nicest clothes and a lot of ornaments to it. And they ripped it in the back all the way up to the hips. In other words, their buttocks were exposed. And so, remember, they didn't wear any briefs. There was no underwear at this time. And so they were humiliated beyond belief. This was so shameful that when David sees them, first thing he does, he says, stay in Jericho and just hang out there until your beard grows, and then you can come back into the city. To give you an idea how incredibly shameful this was to David, to his own people, and these things, and it's pretty amazing. I think, brothers and sisters, you should be aware that this is the treatment that you will receive from the world around us. Remember, Jesus says over and over again that the world hates us, and the world will take our good intentions, our good deeds, and we will be despised and persecuted as a result. Matthew 5, where I ask you to kind of put your finger on, part of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, verse 10 says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, this is interesting. This actually happened to me a long time ago. When I first became a youth pastor, remember, I had no church experience, and I don't know, this crazy church, they hired me. It was really nuts. I was working as an accountant, and I was in a bank as typical salary man, those type of things. And my church that I went to, our church was very involved in outreach. And so, but I went to this new church, and this new church actually didn't do any outreach at all, even though this new church was much bigger and had more influence in these things. And so I wanted to introduce my new church to outreach and helping the poor and these type of things. And so I talked to my senior pastor, and I said, hey, Pastor Kim, I have an idea. We have a Christmas outreach happening soon. I started the church in November. The first week in November is when I started the church. Actually, mid-November is when I started. And then, so Christmas outreach is happening. I said, hey, can we adopt families all over this area? And can we, like, prepare turkey dinner for them and buy presents for their kids and all kinds of stuff? And Pastor Kim said, Sam, that's a great idea. So I was off. And so I was in the office, I was doing my work, and after I finished my work, I would get on the phone, and I would start calling all these different agencies and all these different shelters and people that help the poor in different neighborhoods. And I said, hey, I'm a youth pastor at a church here in Whittier, California, and we want to be a blessing, and so give me the names of people that you want us to help. And obviously, these organizations are a little suspicious. I have no relationship with them whatsoever. And so they would ask me, who are you, blah, 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 all these things. Now, back in those days, like the website thing wasn't really as big as it is now. I mean, it's crazy to think, right? Nowadays, you want to check anybody out, just go to their website. you know, look at their Facebook profile. I mean, you can do quite a bit of investigative work on trying to find these people. But back then, there was nothing like that. And so so the lady was really like, I don't know, we don't give out this information. I said, oh, no, we're trying to help people. And honestly, and these were Christian agencies, they were suspicious that a church wanted to help with no strings attached, which is kind of crazy. You know, I mean, where do they get their funding from? But any case, so all this is happening. And so what I ended up doing, because I was so new to this church, I gave them the wrong telephone number. And so because the area code had changed in this area, and so I was so new, I didn't even know the church's phone number. So I gave them the church phone number. It was the wrong area code. It was the old area code. And so this lady had called the church and thinking that this was Thanksgiving church. And when she called, next thing you know, like this number is no longer in service. And so she's thinking, I'm a crook. And so like she was not returning my phone call. So I finally got a hold of her. And she was screaming at me on the phone. You are a fraud. You know, you are a bad man. How can you do this thing? Here I am. You know, you want these numbers and what are you going to do? And I mean, just literally screaming at me on the phone because she thought I was a fake, that I was trying to take advantage of poor people in this way. And, you know, I was a young minister. I was distraught. I was like, oh my goodness, man, what did I do? I'm kind of going crazy. And I talked to my pastor at the time of my old church. This is actually Dr. Ryan Chang, who's come and done a lot of teaching here. So I talked to Ryan. I said, hey, Ryan, man, I had this situation. I think I really pissed some people off. You know, I gave him the wrong phone number. I mean, long story short. And he turned to me and he said, oh, Sam, he says, blessed are you, you know, who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, I was persecuted for trying to do good things. And I think that's the reality of the world that we live in. We're going to be accused of all kinds of stuff. We're going to have good intentions and do good works, but we're going to be accused by the world because the world just doesn't. They don't have this understanding that it's just because we want to, not because we get anything from it. And this is precisely what David does. Actually, going back to that story, it actually worked out really well because what ended up happening is because we couldn't help people, we couldn't get these names, we decided actually to walk around our neighborhood. And it was really fun. So on Christmas morning, and like most Korean churches, we have Christmas service in the morning. Actually, they have every service. They have Thanksgiving service. They have Christmas service. I mean, any holiday, they have a service for it. And so we went to, actually, I even have a Christmas Eve service as well at night. But any case, so we go to Christmas service, and we invited the whole church to come, and we made baskets of fruit and goodies and all kinds of stuff. And we split off in teams, and we passed out like about 400 baskets all over our neighborhood, and we wrote, you know, signs in English and Spanish, and it turned out to be a really wonderful thing where we got to meet our neighbors, you know, and this type of stuff. So it's amazing how God, you know, he closes a door and he opens up a window, you know, in this way. But I remember that, and so I think of what David's going through. Here David is, out of the pure goodness of his heart, to honor this guy's father who had been kind to him, and instead he gets insulted. And remember, these guys, they were, if you remember my teaching earlier this year, they were the Shaliach. In other words, they were representatives of the king. And so if you receive these guys, you receive the king. If you insulted these guys, you insulted the king. And so these guys were his emissaries. They were his basically his representative, his shaliach to these guys. And so insulted. So they're, all right, we're going to war, basically. And so here the sons of Ammon, they realized this. And so they hired basically the Arameans. And the first, it says they sent them 1,000 talents of silver. That's equivalent to $2 million at that time. That's a crazy amount of money. And so they sent him out to do this, and obviously they get smote and they get wiped out from this. And God, no less than we can, God will always avenge those that seek after him in that way. So let's close our eyes. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. I was reading an article this morning and it's kind of a crazy article, but it's about these cheerleaders in the NFL, and they were basically fired, and so they're do lawsuits, and one of them is actually suing the Miami Dolphins because she's a Christian. And she did a social media post about her baptism, and then shares quite openly about her celibacy, that she's a virgin, and she's keeping her virginity until she gets married. And the team, the Miami Dolphins, confronted her about her social media post, and then confronted her and told her not to talk about her virginity. And so she's suing them for a lack of freedom of religion, basically. I mean, it's her righteousness. And she gets persecuted for that. Brothers and sisters, that's what you can expect from the world around us. In this world, you will have tribulation. You will be misunderstood because you're doing the right thing. So don't lose heart. Don't stop doing the right thing. You keep at it because Jesus says your reward is great in heaven. What a blessing and what a promise. And so if you've been persecuted, maybe in your family you're the only Christian, your reward is great in heaven. Maybe you've been persecuted at your work because you take a stand for Christ and for the ways of God. Blessed are you, for your reward is great in heaven. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us today as we worship Him.
Thank you.
let's pray. Let's pray for strength, especially when we're misunderstood by the world around us. Let's pray for perseverance when we're persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's going to happen. It's inevitable at some point in your life. I mean, I just shared one story from my past, but it happened so many times. Misunderstood for being and trying to be like Jesus and trying to be righteous. And so let's pray for a steadfast spirit. You know, Paul tells us in Corinthians, he says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in vain. And even though it may not be received well, it will be received. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us today, and the Spirit encourage us to continue on doing good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that are battling through cancer and go through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that battles with illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing, and let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu. Pray for our future plant in Shanghai and Pastor Ricky. Lift up the Chung family. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents and continue to lift up the churches. And especially in this climate where laws are getting more difficult, let's just pray that God will continue to expand His kingdom in this place and that China, as a result, would receive blessing through it. And so let's just lift up, pray for our churches and our leaders, and let's pray for the Holy Spirit to continue to breathe His wind over this nation.